This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan alongside Ian McNally. Gringo is the brand new film by veteran stuntman turned director Nash Edgerton. It stars David Oyelowo, Charlize Theron, Amanda Seyfried, Thandie Newton, Joel Edgerton, and Sharlto Copley. The story is a bit of a weird one. It's trying to be a vague Elmore Leonard-ish crime caper that's mostly set in Mexico, featuring a farmer dude that fakes his own kidnapping because of marijuana pills that are being sold to drug lords.
A farmer dude?
I just called him a farmer dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the co-presidents of the company is his best friend, his farmer bro.
Joel Edgerton is hateable in this movie.
Yes,
this
movie. Actually, Joel Edgerton and Charlize Theron are absolutely despicable in this film.
We'll get to that.
Yes. But the movie is directed by Nash Edgerton, who is Joel Edgerton's brother.
Yeah.
That's right. So I have to say this. I think for a directorial debut by Nash Edgerton, it's not bad. I mean, the movie was quite surprising to me in that I did enjoy bits of it. But the big question that I asked myself, and I have it in caps, written in caps in my notebook, is should I be laughing more at this?
Yeah, it kind of desperately wants to be Out of Sight or Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Or 2 Days in the Valley.
Yes.
Because it has different characters going all over the place, and it tries to do the time thing with my least favorite movie trope, which is, you know, something happens and then you see 2 days
two
earlier.
2 days earlier. I hate that on
that's
TV.
That's in caps in my notes.
Yeah, I hate that in movies. And yes, 2 days in the Valley, you know, that's the last time we saw Charlize Theron play this kind of sexy femme fatale role as well, right? And she really hams it up in this one.
Yeah, it seems like it wants to be a dark comedy. When Sharlto Copley turned up, it felt
great.
Like a light had been turned on in the movie. Like,
yes.
Then everything was thrown into relief. It's like, oh, this is where the dark comedy is supposed to be. These are where the laughs are supposed to be and everything else.
Well, actually, the scenes in which David Oyelowo is trying to plan his own kidnapping are some of the funniest in the movie as well. I thought he was... I have not seen him be funny, and I think he did well in that.
Yeah, but there's also... like, he's so downtrodden that the humor then can't really... it feels misplaced to have that as well. I mean, there's a point where he becomes drunk action hero, where
yes.
it starts really working, and it's like, right, if this is the tone they're going to keep going at, then fine. But then he kind of disintegrates into a screaming character. You know, that kind of panicked, screaming Jerry Lewis character?
Because I think they were trying to break away from the fact that a goody two-shoes is usually a boring character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they kind of took it too far. Because when it hit that point, you were like, wait a minute, what's going on? This is completely breaking from any sort of characterization we've seen him, because Harold, his character, is supposed to be...
he's a doormat.
Yeah, but the good guy in a bad situation.
Yeah, but just making him scream a lot when he's in bad situations doesn't add any character. It just makes you hate him.
I think a movie that did it better, even though it was a completely different kind of movie, but having a good guy in a bad situation taking advantage of that bad situation was probably Den of Thieves, right? And I think...
wait, Den of Thieves was...
Gerard Butler, the heist cop...
man, this is earlier this year.
Like, it's earlier this year, right?
And
it just feels like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a character in the film who was a good guy trying to make the best of a bad situation, and he wasn't a boring character.
No. But this is like, he's too nice, and the shades they try to add to deepen his character don't work. That's what felt for me. I mean, as well as that, it's like half of it could be cut.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of side stuff going on
the
that doesn't add anything.
The side plots are so pointless. The Amanda Seyfried story is pointless.
Yep.
The story, even with his wife having an affair with Joel Edgerton's character, it doesn't go anywhere. All it serves to do is to beat down Harold even more.
Yeah, and you're kind of on board with that, and you're thinking, well, I can see where this movie goes. And then Charlize Theron mocks the deaf.
Yes.
That made me feel really uncomfortable. I understand you got to make your character, your bad guy characters supposed to be bad guys, but there's a certain level where it should be like, there's certain things you don't need. We don't need to see Darth Vader strangle a puppy in order to know he's an evil guy, or not even, you know, poke its eyes out, do something utterly reprehensible.
Yeah.
You can just have him blow up a planet. That's fine.
Yeah.
Shirley, like at that moment, I felt my skin crawling off and leaving the cinema. It was just, oh. And she's executive producer.
She is.
So the moment I saw that, I thought, ah, this is like, I'm executive producing. I want to try going a little crazy.
And you can do that as well, I suppose, with a first-time director who happened to be a veteran stuntman.
Yeah.
Right? It feels like you can have a lot more say if you were the executive producer on this film. Now, I don't want to critique this movie in that way that some people do, where they go, well, you know, this is what I would have done differently.
Oh, no.
No, not at all. I just keep thinking about all of these movies that you just cited, Out of Sight, Pulp Fiction. I mean, it tries to go for that Pulp Fiction vibe, but it doesn't have any of the stylistic backing to do it.
Yeah, and the characters aren't really gripping enough. Although
no,
I was happy to find out that there's two Treadaway brothers. I didn't know that. The guy who's trying to get the new cannabinoid pill.
Yes.
Like
Kennebecs.
He's not the Treadaway who was in, I'm just calling them the Treadaways because I can't remember which, I think it's Luke and Harry, but one of them was in Attack the Block, which was a great,
very, very good movie.
Very, very good movie. And I thought it was him, and I was like, oh, he's not trying to find out his first name, and I couldn't find it on IMDb and realized it's his twin brother. I'm happy this movie told me that, but after it, that and the very cool Mexican desperado style version of a Cure song that plays over the credits.
That's right.
Those two things I was happy for the movie for. And also Chartel Copley, who it seems can only play mercs now.
That's all he seems to do.
Yeah. The whole thing with his shtick in District 9 was he was a offish slub who like ended up in this kind of military force thing. But now all he does is play military badasses. I mean, it's fine, but I would like to see a better movie of just his military badass turning to the light, right? He turns into a hippie military badass.
But that being said, every time he's in a scene, it is a revelation. I just love him.
Yeah.
There is something about him. There is a certain charm. There
the
is
Skype
something.
Call.
Yes.
Where David Oyelowo can't hear the one side of the conversation. And that works very, very well. It's just, it's incredibly bitty.
Yes.
It's all these bits that don't quite come together.
No. I don't know what this movie is trying to be. For the most part, it feels like Nash Edgerton was inspired by a series of films that he really, really loved. And he wanted his first film or first effort to be based around those.
And then he got all his brother's friends to come along.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. It feels like an homage to all of these films. It feels like a fan movie of all of these movies, of all of these other movies. And it really doesn't do it any favors.
Because we mentioned 2 Days in the Valley, and 2 Days in the Valley was very much a kind of a Pulp Fiction ripoff at the time.
It was, and wasn't that Charlize Theron's first major breakout role?
Yes,
it was, right? Yeah, in a catsuit, exactly.
And then she got stuck with that image for quite a while.
For a long time, exactly, until Monster came along.
Something like Out of Sight wasn't slavishly trying to do Pulp Fiction, it was doing its own thing. It just happened to have the time jumping stuff. Like, I always love the fact that the opening of Out of Sight as George Clooney throws his tie is actually
the best opening.
A thing that starts, it's a freeze frame, and that's a thing that happens later in the movie.
Much
later. But also back in the movie, because it jumps all over the place.
But also, you know, you had the structure of an Elmore Leonard novel to build off, and the smart thing that Soderbergh does with Out of Sight is that he doesn't give you any time markers.
Yeah.
So for the most part, you have no idea what's going on, and you have to work it out.
And the 2 days ahead of, you know, 2 days prior thing doesn't help this movie at all. It doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need to say 2 days before. It could have started when it started 15 minutes in, and it would have been fine.
No, but therein lies the problem with any kind of crime caper, right? Because you need to set it up so that people don't start picking apart the plot. Because when people start picking apart the plot, then your caper has failed. It's fallen, right? Because that's the whole key to it. And the problem is with this whole movie is Harold doesn't need to be in Mexico at all.
Yeah.
The only reason he's there is because the plot demands that there is a kidnapping.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, he just basically goes not to get screwed over by his bosses. There is that element to it.
Yes, but also he wants ransom money.
Well, no, he figures it out once he gets there and he finds out stuff. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to have this intricate clockwork, there's no point having characters realize things on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting effort.
Yeah.
Just leaves you wanting a lot more.
Yeah,
especially with that. Come on, when you read through that cast list,
yeah,
it's very hard for that cast list not to do cool things.
And just David Oyelowo and Chartel Copley walking around Mexico in, like, it's Cinco de Mayo or Day of the Dead or something. There's just some festival going on. That stuff alone is gold.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's not enough around the rest of the movie to keep it supported.
Bitty.
Yeah.
You said it right. Absolutely bitty, this movie. You can still catch Gringo in cinemas. There are a couple of screenings left. We got to this one very, very late because of all the other stuff we had to watch. But if you have seen it, let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.